Good morning and happy Sabbath. I bring you greetings from the Kona Coast. We've been blessed with a lot of rain, as you have, and we are experiencing very rapid growth in my farm. You know how it is. When you don't keep up with the grass, it causes you extra work. But God's blessing of the rain also causes the flowers to bloom and the overabundance of fruits to be at our disposal. God is good, isn't he? Amen. All the time, God is good. And I just praise the Lord that I'm able to share with you what's been on my heart. We had a wonderful revival series with Pastor Ron Clousset at our church for about 1 week. And he blessed us with his testimony and his stories of victory, of having the Holy Spirit touch his life and the lives of people that he has interviewed. And I like to just carry on the revival. You know, we also had the convocation where we had Pastor Lee Vendon speak to us in a mighty way, practical Christianity, how we can have a strong relationship with Jesus. And the revival is not just after a series of meetings. The revival happens every day. Every day we are to be revived. And revival is to come alive again, to come back from the dead, to be revived. And I pray that as I share the gospel with you, that you will take something with you, that Jesus Christ is desiring a relationship with each one of us. And it's not just in church. As we come to this wonderful building with its wonderful and warm people, every time Cindy and I come here, we are blessed by your warm aloha, and we look forward to meeting with you every time we come. But it is not just in church that we experience God. God is with us every step of the way. When you're traveling from Kona to Honoka, when you're working on your farm, when you're working in your kitchen, when you're at your desk, God is with us, and he is in our hearts. And I'm going to share with you John 15, where God asks us to abide in him. And we'll share that in our testimony today. Before I begin my talk, I'd like to share with you a little story that just came over the internet. Excuse me. There was a 92-year-old preacher, and he was invited to speak at a large congregation. And some people were saying, why did they invite this 92-year-old preacher to speak to us? And as the elderly gentleman slowly and gingerly walked up to the podium, he said, when your pastor asked me to speak, he asked me, what have I learned in the 50 years of preaching? And the pastor, without opening any notes, he said that what I've learned comes from a simple children's song, Jesus Loves Me. And he commented that when they have the children sing the song, it is the adults that sing it most enthusiastically because they have an experience with Jesus. And so today, I'd like us to listen as we hear a senior version of Jesus Loves Me. And I'm going to read through the verse, and then I'm going to ask you all if you would sing the chorus with me. I think most of you know Jesus Loves Me. And this is the senior version. Jesus loves me, this I know, though my hair is white as snow, though my sight is growing dim, still he bids me trust in him. Shall we sing? Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Though my steps are oh so slow, with my hand in his I'll go. On through life let me come what may. He'll be there to lead the way. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. When the nights are dark and long, in my heart he puts a song, telling me in words so clear, have no fear, for I am near. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. When my work on earth is done and life's victories have been won, he will take me home above, then I'll understand his love. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I love Jesus, does he know? Have I ever told him so? Jesus loves to hear me say that I love him every day. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you once again for this blessed Sabbath day. We thank you so much for the wonderful scenery we see around us. And we thank you, Father, for these people who have chosen to worship with you today. I pray just now that you will anoint my lips, dear Father. May my words be clear, and may be understanding be given through the Holy Spirit. Open our hearts to receive your blessing. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. In today's world, we often wonder how we'll be able to stand in the midst of turmoil and uncertainty. We can rest assured that when we are in touch with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Creator of the universe, it is through earnest study of his word and communication with the living God that we build a solid foundation. In Matthew 7, 24 and 25, it tells the story. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain came down, and the river swelled, and the winds blew, and fell upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. Jesus had just concluded the Sermon on the Mount, which set forth some of the most profound truths ever spoken. Yet Jesus knew, even as he was concluding his sermon, that some of his listeners would leave and never apply a word that they heard. Jesus said that a man who takes the words of God and builds them into his life is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. Rocks are hard to build on. It takes time and effort to attach a foundation to a rock. In Luke 6, verse 48, it tells us of the builder whose house was founded upon the rock. He dug deep into the earth. What does this mean? He worked hard, he dug deep to make sure his foundation was solid. The Hawaiian word for cannot be moved is hanapa'a. And if you've ever built a stone wall or foundation or even a fence, you need to lay your posts deep so that they do not move. And sometimes you need to reinforce them with cement or with rocks or with another post. But it is designed to have strength, and you need to dig deep in order to have a solid foundation. So it is with our faith. The deeper we dig into Scripture, the more fully we are grounded in Jesus, the more unshakable our faith. I think of the prophet Daniel. Daniel was a gifted and wise prime minister, but his colleagues were jealous of him because he was a favored man of the king. And so they decided to plot against him. And so they took the king aside and they said to him, "King, you are a wonderful king. You are the greatest king of the land. And we would like to enforce a law that says that people cannot worship anyone but you." And the king was very flattered. He said, "I like that law. The people can only worship me." He wasn't thinking about Daniel. You see, Daniel, every day, three times a day, he would worship his God. He wouldn't just go into the closet. He would open his windows and look toward Jerusalem and pray out loud. And the men that were against him, they knew this. And so they brought this situation to the king. And when they had done so, the king knew what he had done. He had been forced into a trap because his law was needing to be enforced. And so when the law said that whoever worships anyone other than the king must be executed. And so Daniel was placed into the lion's den. Did you know that night the king could not sleep because he was worried about his good friend Daniel? But Daniel, he slept like a baby. Why? Because he knew that God would protect him. He knew that the angels would shut the lion's mouths, and so he slept like a baby. Because of his faith, his unwavering faith, God honored him with a miracle and spared his life. Daniel's faith was strengthened by his building a solid foundation in his life by spending time with God, and he was rewarded by God. Only a house whose foundations are firm will withstand the storm. Likewise, only a life whose foundations are sure can stand the test of time. The first step in building a firm foundation is listening to Jesus. When we listen to Jesus, we gain knowledge. We then take the knowledge we have gained and translate it into action. It does no good to hide your light under a bushel. What we have learned about Jesus, we are to share with others. The light given us can brighten a dark corner in someone else's life. So you see, if we read the Bible and then we do nothing with it, it's like we are not taking his words and putting them into action. It's not enough to read the Bible and go home and say, "I have been blessed." I think God will give us a double blessing if we bless others with what we have learned. The second step then is taking what we have learned, the knowledge we have gained, and sharing it with others. Jesus demands our implicit obedience. Obedience to him is the only sure foundation for life. A life founded on obedience to Jesus is safe, no matter what storms may come our way. Jesus says, "It is not enough to hear my words. By obedience, you must make them the foundation of your character. Self is but shifting sand. If you build upon human theories and inventions, your house will fall. By winds of temptation, the tempest of trial, it will be swept away. But these principles that I've given will endure. Receive me. Build upon my words." Jesus went on with the parable in Matthew 7, 26 and 27. Let's turn there in our Bibles. Matthew 26 and 27. Matthew 7:26 and 27. Now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. What made the foolish builder choose so unwisely? William Barclay comments that he wanted to avoid work. He could not be bothered to dig into the rock. The sand was much more attractive and less trouble. It may be easier to take our way than it is to take Jesus' way, but the end is ruin. Jesus' way is the way to security here and in the hereafter. He also was short-sighted. He never troubled to think what his chosen site would be like in 6 months. Happy is the man who sees things not in the light of the moment, but in the light of eternity. In Jesus' time, when the book of Matthew was written, there used to be heavy rains, and the rains used to come down the ravines and just flood what was once dry land. And so a foolish man would build his house where it was a nice flat place, not thinking what would happen when the spring rains come. And so his house is right in the path of the water. And of course, building on sand, you're not very strong. And when the water comes, it washes everything away. So if we build upon human theories and human inventions, we're building like as it were on the sand. And our foundation will not stand. When the trials of this earth come, our faith will be shaken. However, if we build our faith on the solid rock Jesus, our house will not fall. Jesus' words must be the foundation stones of our lives and characters. In Isaiah 40, verse 8, we'd like to read the words of Scripture, both in the Old Testament and the New. It rings true over and over. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. In Matthew 24, verse 35, Matthew 24:35 says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Spiritual maturity does not come by using shortcuts. It only comes with hard work and obedience to what God says. The next time you hear Jesus speaking, begin immediately to firmly build his truth into your life so no storm can unsettle you. And I was thinking as I prepared this talk with you that a personal testimony sometimes helps us to remember what the preacher is talking about. And I hope that you can take with you some ideas about how you can incorporate studying the Word of God. A few years ago, when I was preparing to run a marathon, you know, a marathon is 26.2 miles. And it takes a lot of preparation to be able to finish a race of this distance. And so I went to a clinic where beginning runners went to learn how to successfully complete a long distance race. And, you know, When you start to run, you don't start off running 26 miles right now. You need to build up to it. And the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And so we would train just 3 miles at a time. And slowly by slowly, we would build up our mileage so that one day we could run 18 miles at a time. But the idea is that slowly by slowly, you build up your endurance. Slowly by slowly, we establish a relationship with Jesus Christ. Every morning, every noon, every evening, we can hit our knees and be in relationship with Jesus. He also establishes our relationship through the Bible. Studying the Bible, being in prayer, this is how we build our foundation in Jesus. Jesus is the rock of salvation in this world and in the next. If we listen to his words and obey them, we will have abundant life. You know, the children of Israel were constantly told to obey me and I will bless you. But the children of Israel were like children. They often did not listen to God's words, and oftentimes they were attacked by the enemy, physically attacked by the enemy. God has promised that if we abide in him, we will have victory. We will have an abundant life. Isn't that what we all want? To be in touch with Jesus, to have a relationship with Jesus that makes everything seem okay. When you're going through trials, when you're facing death, and if you look at the seat next to you, if it's empty, somebody is missing. Whether it's your mother, your father, your daughter, son, cousin, nephew, someone is missing from our lives. And we want them to partake of what we have learned through Jesus Christ. So as we get deeper and deeper into relationship with Jesus, he will offer us opportunities to share with others. And Cindy and I have been blessed. We've prayed that prayer for several years now. And now we are getting more than one request to delve deeper into spiritual things. And we're not talking about doctrine immediately. That's the wrong way to build a foundation. I believe that in order to build a foundation, we talk Jesus Christ first. We talk about the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, how he has changed our lives, and how we would like them to have that change in their lives too. Relationship with Jesus always comes first. And then we can talk about the principles and the prophecies. Jesus said in John 15, verse 7, and I love these three chapters in John 14, 15, 16, and 17. In John 15, 7, it says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. The original meaning of the word abide is actually remain or stay in me. If you were ever in a storm and you had taken shelter in a cave or in a structure, if you went out from that cave or structure, you would be hit by all the elements, the rain, the sleet, the snow. But if you remained in that shelter, you would be safe. Jesus is our shelter in a time of storm. If we abide, if we stay with him, we can be safe from any of the attacks of the devil. If you stay in me and obey my commands, you may ask any request you like and it will be granted. Verse 8, my true disciples produce bountiful harvests. This brings glory to my Father. What is a harvest? Those of you that are gardeners or you have farms, what is the harvest? It is a result of your toil, where you cleared the land and you planted the seed and you tended your seedling plants. And when the time comes, when the harvest is ready, the fruits are a wonderful reward for your work. Jesus is offering us that example, that if we depend upon him, we can sow the seeds and our harvest will be bountiful. Wouldn't it be wonderful if this church were filled to the brims and there were standing room only, where there were precious souls that are coming to have a closer walk with Jesus. And each of us has the opportunity to share with our family, to share with our workmates, to share with our friends what God has done for us. So now I'm going to shift a little to talk about what are the foundations that are not going to give us a solid foundation. And you are familiar with these, but in today's world, we see so many shipwrecks. We see so many people that are struggling because they're going after the wrong pursuits. One is the pursuit of material things. In Proverbs 11:4, it says that riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Again in Proverbs 11, verse 28, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Proverbs 23, verse 5, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. In Isaiah 2, verses 20 and 21, in that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they make each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. You see, if we depend upon idols of wealth or power or influence, all of those things will seem like nothing when Jesus comes, and we will just cast them to the side because they are not a sure foundation. If any of you have pursued wealth, and I have to admit that I have, that money is a cruel taskmaster. You try to pursue wealth, and then you gain a certain foothold, and then all of a sudden you see your neighbor who has a nicer, bigger car, nicer, bigger house, and you want to attain that level. And you will never be satisfied if you pursue wealth. Another foolish foundation would be the pursuit of notoriety or pride. 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Proverbs 13, by pride comes only contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. In the book of Psalms, Psalms 34, 16, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. If you pursue your own way, if you pursue evil things, your remembrance will be cut off from the earth. Even if we depend upon family and friends, that can be a weak foundation. Do you remember the story of Cain and Abel? They were the first children. Remember Adam and Eve? They had two children, Cain and Abel. But Cain had an idea that he wanted to do his own thing. When asked to give a sacrifice of a lamb, he wanted to give a sacrifice of his produce, which was fruits and vegetables. And because he tried to save himself through his own efforts, his sacrifice was not accepted. And his pride caused him to commit the first murder because he believed that he was correct and justified. So family and friends, they may betray us. We cannot depend on them all the time. You remember the story about Joseph and his brothers, or even blood relations betrayed him into slavery. But out of that story came wonderful victory. Even though he was put into the pit and sold into slavery, because of his solid foundation in Jesus Christ that was taught to him by his father and mother, he learned to be faithful to God, and he was rewarded. Another story is from Job. You know, Job was a righteous man, yet the devil tried to pry him away from God's love. He destroyed his house, his family, and he even touched his health. And so it is, in his misery, Job calls out to his friends. And he wants to have encouragement from his friends. But instead, they accuse him of all kinds of false things. And he didn't find any encouragement from his friends. It says in Matthew 10:36, "And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." The things in life that will stand are built only on the rock of salvation, Jesus Christ. I'd like to go back to Scripture once again, and let's look at Matthew 24. Well, let's go to Psalms 91. 14 to 16, especially verse 14, Psalms 91. Psalm 91, 14. "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Jesus Christ has given us these promises. And these promises are a living word that what he has promised, he will do. He will deliver us from any temptations. In Matthew 21, it talks about Jesus talking to the religious leaders. Matthew 21, verses 42 to 44. Matthew 21, 42 to 44. Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in Scripture, 'The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. That was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." Jesus was referring to a passage in Isaiah 8, and it says that he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone, a stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken. Jesus was trying to tell the leaders of Israel that he was the cornerstone that the builders had rejected, According to the story, the people of Israel were building a temple, and there was one stone that was odd-sized, and they didn't know what to do with it. And so they continued building. And then they came to a crucial point in their building where they needed to lay a cornerstone. And they looked and found this odd-shaped stone that they had rejected. And they found that it was strong enough and big enough, and it would withstand the pressure of the weight. And it was the right size. Jesus is the cornerstone. Jesus will fit perfectly into our life if we allow him to. If we reject Jesus, we reject eternity, and we reject the abundant life. If we would just ask Jesus to come into our life, it doesn't have to be a complicated prayer. It doesn't have to be that we are perfect before we come to Jesus. We come to Jesus because we are broken. And the stone may cause people to be broken, but when we are broken, we are ready to come to Jesus. The scripture says, many will stumble on this stone and be broken. And that is the point. When we are broken, we are ready to be fixed by the divine craftsman. When we admit we are powerless against sin, Jesus will cover us with his robe of righteousness, and we will find strength through our weakness. In Matthew 28:28, Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Power can be translated as authority. All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. If we would ask in Jesus' name, the powers of this earth cannot stand against the authority of heaven and earth. And in the very next verse, Jesus gives us the gospel commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May God help us to build on the solid rock. May our faith be strengthened by our dependence on him, and may we live our lives in accordance to his will and purpose for our lives. So we turn now to our closing hymn, number 522, I believe. Our hope is built on solid